A town hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus. And it's brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit our site or call 720-820-2000. Here are your hosts, Brian Estridge and Rick Roberts.
Welcome into this town hall with Mark Cuban as we assist businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Brian Estridge, along with my friend Rick Roberts, and we'll spend the next hour with Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, entrepreneur, investor, author of How to Win at the Sport of Business. Today's town hall, as you heard there, is brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Rick, the House has approved the $2 trillion relief package, the president, to reverse the economic impact of the pandemic. We get to discuss that, along with a plan of attack to save this country as we know it, with one of the preeminent business minds in America today, in Mark Cuban.
Absolutely, and the bill has passed. One lone GOP member, causing a little drama, it went ahead and passed. I think what we need to focus on now, it's passed. How soon we'll be seeing a difference here in Dallas-Fort Worth and across the nation when it comes to business and individuals. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We are excited about this hour, Mark. Let's get started. Let's just dive right into it. Thanks for taking the time. The House passes this $2 trillion stimulus plan. Will that be enough in your mind, Mark, to save this economy?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. This is all new territory. We've never been here before, and so we're going to have to just play it by feel, I think, in a lot of respects. I think now that the bill is passed and about to be signed, the question becomes how quickly and with what friction can money get into the hands of small businesses and individuals? And that remains to be seen. And so that's really where I've shifted my focus in trying to work with banks to and the SBA and the Treasury in trying to get money in the hands of people sooner.
That's really the key, as I see it. I've heard people say, well, a recession could be looming. For all intents and purposes, would you not agree we're in a recession? And the quicker we can get that money into the hands of business and individuals, the quicker we're going to see a turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. The answer is yes. You know, and I would agree with you that we're most likely in a recession, if not a deep recession. And the quicker we can get money in the hands of small businesses, particularly with this program, then the sooner they can hire somebody back. And the quicker we can get money in the hands of individuals through this program, then the more control they'll feel like they have over their lives, and just the better we'll feel about our circumstances. Because the last situation any individual, particularly a parent, wants to be in is wondering when they're going to be able to buy food for their kids. And this alleviates it if we can get it into their hands quick enough, and that's where I'm concerned.
Mark, you were concerned about social unrest, even if that money doesn't get there quick enough.
I mean, would you blame any parent who couldn't put food on their table for doing whatever they needed to do?
Not at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not at all.
You know, a lot of fears. I think the thing, the key in business, at least for me in the past, is keep moving forward. Even when you hit some rough spots, as long as you can keep moving forward, that's not to dismiss the benefit of standing still and evaluating what's going on around you. But this is all about the unknown. And when people don't know what's ahead, you know, that creates more fear and in some cases panic. Just take a look at the grocery stores.
Yeah, and this is, if you run a small business, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be agile, and you have to be a sponge when it comes to information so that you can put yourself in a position to make the best decisions. Because right now, all information is imperfect information. There's no certainty whatsoever. You know, pretty much any decision that's being made is ready, fire, aim rather than ready, aim, fire. And that means some of your decisions are going to be wrong. Whether it's, the government we're talking about or the smallest of small businesses or independent contractors. And when you know there's a chance that your decisions are going to be wrong, you have to be very agile. You have to be ready to move quickly.
You've talked about cash advances even to folks. What are you working with folks to try to accomplish?
So let's talk about individuals first. The $1,200 check if you make $75,000 or less. I'm concerned that because this is going to take potentially 3 weeks, according to the Treasury, that there are going to be so many scam artists out there that a lot of people that are the most vulnerable are going to get ripped off. you know, it'll take 10 minutes after this passed for somebody to be out there running an ad or, you know, on television or online saying, you know what, you know, get your $1,200 check right now. You know, I want my money and I want it now type thing. And it will then turn around and say, okay, by the way, I'll give you 1,000 of your 1,200, but you have to sign this document, which effectively signs away every asset they own if they don't pay it back. And, you know, that just creates all kinds of potential issues that makes everything worse. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we can be vigilant and help people there. So that's part one. Part two is I've already talked to some banks, and effectively the understanding right now is if you are an individual that has already gotten a tax refund in the past, that means the IRS most likely has direct deposited that amount into your bank account. And if you're an individual that makes under 75K and has had that deposit from the IRS, then there's no reason why your bank can't provide overdraft protection for up to the $1,200 that you should be receiving, because all the pieces are already in place for them to confirm everything. They can confirm your income very easily. They already know your bank account, so they know that you've received a direct deposit from the IRS for your refund, or you've paid out of that account to the IRS for your taxes. So with all those pieces in place, I've been discussing with banks, why not just advance or actually do an overdraft protection up to that amount so people feel like they have some control. They can put the groceries on the table this weekend. You know, they can hopefully pay their rent. Just things that take away some of the desperation and some of the lack of hope, and that we need to do as quickly as possible.
Is this going to be enough in your estimation?
I don't know, but we have to do it anyways. You know, you still... What I do know is the alternative. If we don't do it, then we know it's going to stay bad and get worse.
Right.
And so we have to do it. You know, all this violates so many principles from so many people in terms of how do you run a government, how do you run an economy, what does the Federal Reserve do. We're in completely uncharted territory, and this will be what happens will be written about for eons, as, you know, depending on how it plays out. But you got to do something. And inaction is the worst thing. That's what you know caused the Great Depression. The inability of the Fed to ask, and that lasted what, 12 years. And so doing nothing is absolutely the wrong thing to do. And if we get to the point where we're not bouncing back, then we'll look at doing more. You know, because there's no way we just write the checks or direct deposit this money or loan the money to small business and everything just comes back to normal. You know, it's we've been dealt a cancer, and now we're trying to figure out the right therapy, and we're probably going through chemotherapy right now, and you're always changed, and this country is going to always be changed as a result of this. Now, I think there's a lot of positives that can happen, and I'm still very optimistic, but you have to recognize that when you've been changed, you have to adapt. You know, it's a difference between being 21 and 61. You might think the same, but it's a different world for your body physically and mentally, and you have to be smart enough and self-aware enough, and we have to be self-aware enough as a country to be able to recognize we're going to have to try to do things differently going forward.
We're assisting businesses during the coronavirus. It's brought to us by our friends at freeconferencecall.com. You can find out more at freeconferencecall.com. Visit their website. Mark, I want to get back into getting the money in the hands of folks quickly. We talked about how we would do that on the for individuals, how you would do that. What about when it comes to businesses? When I hear the Small Business Administration, I think red tape.
Yep.
And I worry about how long that's going to take.
Yeah, the good news is this is not going to be a typical Small Business Administration program. You know, in the past, when you apply for something from the SBA, it was weeks and red tape and hassles and a 90% chance you weren't going to get anything done. You know, as I mentioned briefly, I've been working with the SBA. This is a program that is going to allow banks to give full authorization and pay the money, knowing that that amount's going to be guaranteed. So what that means is the minute this bill is passed, you need to be, if you're a small business owner, if you're an entrepreneur and you have 500 and fewer or fewer employees, then you need to go to your bank, not to the SBA, but to your bank, and ask what it will take to certify for the payroll prevention program. I forget the exact name. Payroll retention program. Mm. And the way it works is the government will loan you money for 3 months, I think it is, for your payroll for employees that make under $100,000 and for your rent and utilities and some other expenses as well. And they'll loan you up to $10 million, but the actual amount will be dependent on what I just mentioned, the payroll, et cetera. They'll loan you that amount, and if you keep all your employees or keep them and hire more, you don't have to pay it back. And the reason why, and because of that, now think about what that means to banks. This is the first time in the history of banking where a banker can go to a small business and say, you know what, if you promise not to lay anybody off or fire anybody and hopefully hire people, and you have fewer than 500 employees, I'm going to lend you this money, and if you live up to that, you don't have to pay it back. It's the best deal ever for a bank to pick up new customers and develop relationships. So this is why every single small business has to apply, no exceptions. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your employees, you owe it to your and their families to do so.
That's incredible. And, you know, a lot of people, when you talk to people each and every day on the phone, in talk radio, it's, well, I'm concerned about this. And it's amazing the scenarios they can come up with. And that was one of them. You know, how do we know that our jobs aren't gone for good? You know, what a great program.
We've all worked for companies where the boss was marginal, and not every boss is going to be at the top of their game. And so if you're listening to this, if you're paying attention to what's going on, you know, read up on it and suggest it to your boss. You know, ask them to go apply if it's something that they haven't done yet. And, you know, even if it's to the point where you've already been laid off, to go back and say, you know what, if you apply for this and get it, you can bring me back on payroll and the government's going to pay for it for a couple months.
You know, that goes a long way, Mark, in instilling confidence in individuals, workers, in businesses as well, because, you know, a lot of people are still gun shy about 2008. When you hear about programs like this, okay, well, that's showing me a little something. And speaking of that, you know, as we step back and hear that the stimulus bill has been passed, you kind of have to take stock of where we were, what we've learned thus far, whether you're a business, an executive, an employee, you know, quite honestly, what we've learned about each other and how can we make that work for us and the business moving forward.
We're all in a crisis together. In 2008, you could say it was the bank's fault. It was the insurance company's fault. It was the market's fault with all these derivatives, and it was them. And there were certain victims of it, but it didn't touch everybody. This is different. This touches everybody. You know, I know people who have gotten it. I know people who have gotten very sick. I don't know a person who's died, but I have an acquaintance, a friend of a friend, multiple friends of friends out that have died. And it touches all of us. You can't avoid it. And it's the uncertainty of not knowing what's next that's really scary. And that's all the more reason for all of us to reach out, not just to our families, but to our neighbors. You know, we're quarantined at home. We're hibernating at home. But our phones still work. Our FaceTime still works. And this is the time to reach out to each other and just say hi and talk and communicate and, you know, and be friends and be nice, you know. And I think that's what we're starting to see. And that's one of the big positives that will come out of this. We will be stronger as communities. You're seeing people step up left and right. You're seeing people want to help. You're seeing charities come forward. And you're seeing individuals really open their hearts, and not just their wallets, but their hearts, really, to, again, communicate with people around them, to just try to make things a little bit better for everybody.
Mark, what will businesses learn from this experience? I mean, we have all used it as a semi-reset in our lives, as you talk about there, where hearts have changed. How will businesses change, though?
Reset's the perfect word. I wish I had thought of it, you know, because that's exactly what's going to happen. We don't know exactly what things are going to look like on the other side or when we'll get there. You're going to have to be agile. You're going to have to be willing to reset. There's just uncertainty. I couldn't tell you, you know, it's all going to be the same, because it probably won't. But I can tell you that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the stock market will probably be higher than it is now, which means, you know, to at least a certain extent, things are, you know, going in the right direction. And two, there'll be businesses that we discuss where we say, golly, why didn't I think of that? And they're the next, you know, whoever, Uber, Google, Apple, Microsoft, whatever it may be, because out of this FUBAR situation, there will be heroes. There will be people, who knows how old they are, who knows where they're from, who knows what they're about, that really have a vision for the way things should be when we come out of this and start to implement that vision. And it won't be somebody who raised $100 million from a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. It's more likely to be a 14-year-old kid who thinks, you know what, you know, I think we can do this, and I'm going to try it, and it's going to catch on with my friends and grow from there. And so if you're an entrepreneur out there, if you're somebody with an idea, don't make it about raising money. Make it about your group of friends, your family, and doing something that has a direct impact on them, and then seeing if every, you know, then have it spread from there. And see if things work from there.
Whether you're a small business owner, I think businesses and consumers have more in common than they have differences. If you run a family, you, for all intents and purposes, you're running a small business.
Yep.
And you have to think of, okay, in the downtimes, what do I do? Do I just sit here and worry about all the negatives coming in, or do I use it to my advantage to make the business better, to make it more efficient, to make it more productive?
Yep.
And, you know, here's the opportunity to do that, correct?
Yeah, without question. I mean, look, in every small business, there are moments where you think, golly, if I only had the time, I would change this. Hmm. If only I had the time, I would reevaluate this. If only I had the time, I would do more, new marketing materials, or, you know, do, you know, communicate, you know, with more people, or open up the, you know, do more analysis, do more reading and learning. Well, now you got the time. Now is the exact time to do that. You know, to use this time to, you know, to maybe work with somebody that's creative to create new marketing materials, because service industry people like that aren't doing a lot of work, and it won't cost much money to, you know, to work with them to try to improve your marketing or your internal communications, whatever it may be. Now's the chance to put your brain power to it. And also, it's also an opportunity to, you know, to really communicate with your prospects, excuse me, and your customers, and talk to them and spend more time with them and say, you know, what can we do together? How can I help you? How can I help you in your job? How can I help your company? Because they're just as freaked out as you are.
Yeah.
And just having that opportunity to communicate and actually be transparent too. You want to be able to tell people, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. Or we're really struggling. Can you work with me on this bill or this product or this packaging? You know, or I see you're really struggling and I'm doing a little better. Let me help you. You know, I'll let you delay paying me. Because these are the moments when the best relationships will be built.
Well, that is great advice here. A Town Hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. It's brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit their site or call 720-820-2000. Mark, how will you be different on the other side of this as an executive, as a father, as a husband? How will you be different?
You know, hopefully I'll be a better leader. Hopefully I'll be a better dad. Because you have a lot of time to think, and you have a lot of time to analyze your own actions or my own actions. You know, it's just, we just have to face it. And, you know, I'm always a big believer that you don't have to be the leader to be a leader. And, you know, hopefully I'm setting an example for my kids. You know, my son's sitting here listening to a lot of the interviews I've been doing, you know, asking questions, and my daughter's the same way. And hopefully they'll learn from this as well, because they have to take this into the future. You know, this is going to be the thing that they, as 10, 13, and 16 years old, will be able to look back on and say, okay, here's what I learned. Here's what my dad taught me. Here's what happened, you know, and for their kids and their kids. And hopefully they'll never go through this again, but, you know, there's a chance they will. And hopefully they learned something, and I conveyed that wisdom to them, conveyed that wisdom to other people. So if and when this happens again, we're a little bit better at handling it.
You know, Mark, as I look at this, you think to yourself, whether you're running a business or you're an individual consumer, you never learn anything from someone that agrees with you 100%, 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
And I've also found that, you know, you're going to have tough times. You just have to realize that going in. Hopefully not history-making tough times like we're dealing with right now. But I've talked to so many people that say to me, you know, Rick, when I get my head out of the political part of this and into what's going on in my store, my retail outlet, or in my community, my town, and deal with the people I deal with every day, you know, the answers come pretty easily, but you have to change your mindset, do you not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, we're different set of circumstances. You can't be dogmatic. You know, great entrepreneurs, I mean, and I just think good people, if you don't learn, if you're not open to dialogue, then, you know, you create your own agita, right? You create your own stress. I think, you know, even though you might be, on opposite sides, 180 degrees apart from each other on some topic. Just having dialogue is always a positive to me. You know, I always learn. I mean, I might learn, might make my position stronger and why we disagree. It might change my mind completely, but I always try to have an open mind because, that's, as an entrepreneur, life changes. You know, my dad used to always say, you don't live in the world you were born into. So you pick whatever day you were born, whatever year you were born, and think about all the things that have been created since then. You know, we live in a different world, and now it's changed even more. But if somebody had their mind closed, how would you accept or adapt to these things? And the things that we always thought were horrible, 30, 40, 50 years ago, now don't seem so bad because we've adapted. And so you're exactly right. You have to be open-minded. You have to be willing to have a dialogue. You have to recognize that people who may disagree with you are just as concerned as you are and still want the best for, family, country, business, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you talked about that in an interview the other day, Mark, where you talked about how consumers are now watching. Consumers are watching how businesses handle this as well.
Yeah, without question. If you are a business, how you treat your employees, your customers, your stakeholders, anybody at all for that matter, is going to be how people look at you and define you as an individual and as a brand for decades. You know, in this day and age with social media, and you look at Gen Z and millennials who are active users, and even, people our age, guys, I mean, we're all on Instagram, and, we know that how people look at us on Instagram is kind of our brand. And so if you happen to have, I'm not a big fan of what Boeing is doing right now and, saying, okay, well, if the government wants to give us money, we're not going to give them equity. We'll go somewhere else. Well, go somewhere else. But, if you put on a Boeing T-shirt and, Boeing is that bailout company that was too arrogant to deal with the country, and jobs were lost and I'm just using this as a hypothetical. You don't want to be wearing that Boeing T-shirt on your Instagram, or if there's a company that just doesn't treat their employees well, consumers are not going to want to buy from that company. And so not only is it your brand at risk, but it's also your business at risk because, you can look at the flip side. If you're a company, like I just saw a note that Live Nation sent to their employees, and they basically said, if you're an employee, whether you're hourly or salary, if you're a contractor, not even an employee, then we're going to continue paying you as if nothing had happened. That's the company you want to do business with. That's the company you're proud to be associated with. Bank of America, 208,000 employees. They said they're going to continue to pay everybody, whether they're able to work or not, whether they can come into the office or even whether or not at home they can even contribute at all. They're going to continue paying them as if nothing had changed. I want to do business with Bank of America. That's a brand I'd be proud to be associated with. And there's, countless examples. Texas Roadhouse. There's just, so many examples of companies like that now that are just doing the right thing and stepping up and continuing to keep people employed and pay part-time employees. And that's just a beautiful thing. But just consider, if you're on the opposite side, and look, there are going to be companies that can't afford it. And you just can't afford to keep people on, and I understand that. But those are dire circumstances, and that's just doing what you have to do. But if you can afford it and you choose not to because you want to improve your earnings per share or whatever other reason, your brand is toast and you earned it. If you're so closed-minded to think, well, hey, the stock market's down, I need to jack up my earnings per share to try to get my stock price up so my balance sheet looks better, my net worth gets back up to where I want it to be. I can't even imagine thinking like that. And yeah, those type of people are their own worst enemies. And, Corona Karma is going to be a bitch.
I like that, Corona Karma, yes. A Town Hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus, brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit their site or call 720-820-2000. I'm Brian Estridge along with Rick Roberts.
Following the directive of Governor Raimondo in response to the COVID-19 virus, the YMCA of Woonsocket is closing child care until further notice. We understand the hardship this may cause to many families and individuals. We did not arrive at this decision lightly, and we are committed to reopening all facilities and branches as soon as possible. However, the safety and security of our members and staff remains our top priority, and we are committed to ensuring your health and well-being. Check the Woonsocket YMCA Facebook page for daily workouts, educational resources for children, and updates on our building. In closing, the YMCA would like to wish you and your family good health.
This message is from Crossroads Real Estate Group. The coronavirus is affecting all aspects of business, including the real estate industry. As corona spreads, people are becoming more cautious. Conferences are being canceled and people are canceling travel plans. Meanwhile, other industries such as soap and bleach and hand sanitizers, they're booming. Now, while the coronavirus is having widespread effects on the globe, the real estate market here in the United States is coping with a mixed bag of positive and negative effects from the outbreak. Overall, real estate remains a trusted long-term investment option in a time where stock prices are falling and the return on bonds is at an all-time low. For instance, home interest rates are just 3.25 to 3.50%. Buyers who are on the fence about purchasing could now see a great time to lock in a low mortgage rate. And lowered interest rates also help buyers afford a more expensive home or take advantage of increased affordability while interest rates are down. So, while we're stepping back on regular activities, you may want to open up a discussion on your real estate plans. Bob Martin, broker and owner, is ready to talk to you at Crossroads Real Estate Group. Offices in Socket, Cumberland, and Chepachet. Bob Martin is a phone call away at 401-766-7545, extension 111.
Woonsocket Tax Services announces, in compliance with the governor's regulation amidst the current health crisis, we are going to be restricting traffic in and out of our office to staff only effective Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. We will continue to work our normal tax season hours inside the office, answering your questions via phone and email, completing and assembling returns, and processing payroll. We are unfortunately canceling all appointments currently scheduled. We will be in touch with those affected to work out alternative arrangements. We are able to accept your tax documents via mail, fax, or through the secure lockbox located just to the right of our front door. Please call our office with any questions you may have about dropping off your tax documents or getting your completed returned e-filed. Call 765-1840. As a small, local, family-owned, and operated business, we appreciate you more than you know. Woonsocket Tax Services, 172 Front Street, Woonsocket, 765-1840.
A message from St. Joseph Veterans Association. The mission of our veterans was and still is to keep our country safe. Now, for that reason, and by order of our governor, St. Joseph Veterans Association has suspended their weekly meat raffles and all events until it's safe to do so again. During this unfortunate time, St. Joseph Veterans Association, 99 Louise Street, hopes you remain safe and healthy.
A town hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus. And it's brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit our site or call 720-820-2000. Here are your hosts, Brian Estridge and Rick Roberts.
Welcome back to our conversation with Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, entrepreneur, investor. He had a great line years ago that I've used over and over, Mark. You're either are you a wantrepreneur or you're an entrepreneur? we're focusing on entrepreneurs today, and I love that line. I still use it. We have talked about the current environment, where we are now, and what we have learned, at least what we know to date. Let's move forward and talk about the plan now for businesses and workers as they do strategic thinking and planning and use this time. What's the best plan of attack for a small business right now to ensure its survival and eventually growth on the back end of this pandemic?
Transparency and communication. You have to be transparent with your employees, your customers, your prospects, and let them know exactly your status and what you are doing, and then use that to also create opportunity. When we get out of this, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And most of them are going to say, I don't know. We're just as confused as you are. But all it takes is one or two. You don't have to have all the right answers for all your customers. But if you get one or two on the hook, I mean, my first company, all of my companies, you know, often it's just one customer that just, you know, sets you on your way to doing great things. And this might be the time to get that one customer. Realize there are companies that are doing well. Not everybody is struggling in terms of their business company-wise. If you sell toilet paper, as an example, right. One of my Shark Tank companies is a company called Dude Wipes, and they're just killing it right now because they're sanitized alternative and transportable alternative to toilet paper. And they're running out of stock in Walmart and Costco and other places. And so, you know, I've been clear to them. Look, guys, you have an obligation to keep your employees, You know, don't cut anything back, obviously, and hire where you can. And pay, you know, don't pay minimum wage because you think you're getting them a job. Pay them $15 an hour or more because you need them to be able to live and not also go on public assistance because you're killing it. Your job, part of your job, part of your obligation in this new world, and I wouldn't have said this, you know, 3 months ago, but part of your obligation in the new world is if your business is doing well, you don't want to look back and think to yourself, well, why is it one of my employees is now on getting public assistance? Why didn't I pay them more when I was raking it in? And so you've got to be a better citizen there. And so that's one thing, you know. And part two is me saying there's companies doing well. For your small business, if you're struggling right now, figure out which companies are doing well. You know, do they sell toilet paper? Do they sell produce? Do they sell groceries? Do they sell bikes? Because people are buying bikes in record numbers because they want their kids to get some exercise around the house. And on a bike, you basically are, by definition, social distancing. And so, you know, what companies can you work with that are prospects or customers that are doing well that you can go to and try to partner with them or make them a customer?
Mark, that is so true. As a small business owner or even a consumer, you know, when you have these downtimes, you've got the time on your hands. Look yep. around. Who's succeeding? Who is succeeding? And what are they doing differently than you are? You know, as I look at this, if I may, let's just draw the worst case scenario. A small business, maybe they were, teetering on the edge before the pandemic. Now they've had to shut down. They're trying to come up with a way to open again. And consumers being laid off. Okay, what do I need to do to become employable again? What are your recommendations?
You know, if you've lost your job, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, look, there's great opportunities. You know, it really depends on your personal circumstances. You know, when I got fired from my job, I got a job as a bartender, but that's not an opportunity right now. You know, the opportunities are working at grocery stores. They're doing delivery. They're working in warehouses. They're being a driver. You know, you're gonna have to really check yourself and say, you know what, it may not be the optimal job, but I need a job.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, you know, there are companies that are doing well. Identify those companies and see if any of them are a fit. You know, I got an email from an executive at Vita Coco coconut water, and they said they're crushing it for the reasons I mentioned, right? You know, coconut water, it can stay for, you know, is good for a while. You can keep it in your fridge. You can keep it warm in a pantry or whatever. And so their business is crushing it. And so I forwarded some resumes to people there just because, you know, people who had lost their jobs had contacted me, and here's an opportunity for them to possibly go to work there. So look for companies that are doing well and see if you're a fit. Apply, you know. And part two to that is add some skill sets.
Yeah.
You know, add some skill. You know, what is it that you can be better at? What is it that you're good at that you can become great at? How can you use your time effectively? You know, if you're sitting around playing video games or if you're just staring at the news on TV all day long, you're not really adding anything that's going to make you a better employee or a more employable person. Now's the time. Get better at something, or, you know, take the things that maybe you weren't as good at and, you know, go for a walk and listen to a podcast that can make you smarter about that topic.
It's an overused phrase, but it really does apply. This is the perfect time for strategic planning as an individual or as a business, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, do the things you haven't had time to do in the past. Absolutely right. You know, what are the things that you wish you had time for because now you have them? You know, so often we're like on a weekend, well, you know, I'm going to take it easy. I probably should do A, B, or C. Well, now do the A, B, and C things, right? Take on those projects. You know, figure things out that are going to put you in a better position. Whether you're an entrepreneur, it may be, you know, learning new products. It may be designing new products. It may be, you know, analyzing your industry, digging in and reading up on your competitors, really being an expert in something that makes you more effective as an entrepreneur, as an employee, whatever it may, as a salesperson, whatever it may be.
You know, Mark, as I look at this, and we've already established, no one thinks this stimulus bill is perfect, but it's necessary.
Yep.
If you look at the unemployment and the add-ons and the stimulus checks, if you look at this, you know, a lot of small businesses are saying, okay, what can I do at this point to make that, they almost have to view it as income, stretch until the market comes back for my particular business and for consumers as well. Do you think it's enough to bridge that gap? And I know there's no way to tell that at this point. Give me a timeline. You've been in business for a long time, many different businesses, which give you a very unique perspective. If you were trying to, if you were pressed into service about the timeline that this pandemic will affect the economy and the individuals and small businesses, in your estimation, what are we looking at?
I would tell you, don't listen to me. You know, because the only thing I can tell you with certainty is that the one person who I know doesn't know the answer to that is me. And that's also something you have to be careful of as a business person, because there's going to be a lot of people selling fake science. You know, I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten saying, invest in my cure for CV-19, invest in this, or I've got all these masks, I just need money to go get masks for hospitals. You know, there's a lot of shady things that are going on, and in desperate times, people try to take advantage of other people's desperation. And you're going to have a lot of people coming to you saying, oh yeah, here's money that can, you know, in addition to what the government will give you, here's money that will help you cover this problem or deal with this or help you in this way. You know, if it ever seems too good to be true, it always is, and particularly coming from a third party. And so you really have to be cognizant of what's real and what's not, because as this thing goes on, it's going to get harder and harder. You know, depending on where you live, it's been 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and it seems like, you know, it's like an eternity since we, you know, that last Mavs game when the NBA season shut down. I mean, it's been a little bit more than 2 weeks, but it seems like it was another century. And so this could go on for months. And so you have to recognize that you're going to be, it's going to be difficult for you, and you're going to be very anxious. And you have to really force yourself to try to be patient, to try to manage it, not to go all in on anything, you know, because it's going to be really, really, really difficult to know when. You know, they say never try to catch a falling knife. And, you know, there's been a knife falling. We just don't know how long it's going to fall. And I agree with that sentiment that you just, you know, you have to hold on. You have to keep your expenses low. You effectively have to live like a student and just bide your time. And when people start saying, when the experts, not me, when the way I look at it, when Dr. Fauci says it's okay to go outside, that's when I'll go outside. I don't care what anybody else in the universe says. It doesn't matter. It could be an alien that lands on the planet saying, all's okay. No, it's not okay until Dr. Fauci says it's okay, and that's who I'm listening to.
It's a Town Hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus. Brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit their site or call 720-820-2000. There is a point where business and politics do meet.
Sure.
And Mark, I want to ask about a couple of things that have come up, and I wonder if they are going to get traction after this pandemic is over with. That is paid sick leave, which was important in the first stimulus plan.
Yep.
Also, this call for universal basic income.
Right.
Where will those stand here in the near future?
Okay, two things. One, for paid sick leave, yes, I think that's a keeper, because we all respect and understand it now. We're in the middle of an experience where it impacts all of us, and we can appreciate the impact. Now, what hasn't been solved with paid sick leave and the legislation that's been passed is what happens if you go more than 21 days or whatever the limit is. And I think you're going to see, like, companies have this thing called sick bank, right? At big companies, mm-hmm. where you can loan your sick days to somebody else, and then when you need them, you can take them from the bank, even if it's more than what you've given in. And I think you're going to see programs that allow that to happen between companies. So, you know, WBAP can say, okay, we're going to participate. You know, Cumulus will put X number of dollars in for each person, and then each person has the option of contributing one or two sick days into the sick bank, knowing that at some point in the future, if and when they need it beyond the paid leave that they get, they can use that. And I think that'll come into play more and more, because we've recognized now that here's what can happen when things get bad. So that's the first thing. And what was the second?
Universal income, basic income.
Yeah, UBI, yeah, yeah. That's a good reason. You know, on one hand, people are looking at this $1,200 check as a introduction to UBI, and I just don't see that. I think it's just an action that we need to take, but I don't think it's really support for UBI. I'm not a fan of it. I think we're better off by helping employees as opposed to people who aren't working. So I am a fan. Like, I'll just tell you my personal experience. With the Mavs and the American Airlines Center, I went through and I told our guys, I said, look, there's nothing that would be more embarrassing to me than to have somebody who is an employee of a company that I can, that I basically manage, right, and that I run, particularly the Mavs, I only own half of the AC, but, and that employee had to go on government assistance because I wasn't paying them enough. That to me is just wrong. And so in terms of the alternative to UBI, and this is, you know, Bernie Sanders gets credit for this. I am a big believer in taking the minimum wage and setting it at $15 because, and I get the thing about, you know, young kids don't need $15. You're taking jobs away from older adults who may need that job. I get that completely. But at the same time, if you have an employee that can't afford to live and requires public assistance, everybody else is paying that bill for you. And to me, that's wrong. Right. And so even, you know, there's no perfect laws, there's no perfect rules. And so I'm not a fan of UBI, but I am a fan of raising the minimum wage significantly. And I try to practice what I preach. We did that with the AAC and we did that with the Mavericks as well.
To that end, Mark, you have commented several times, we're going to see the best of capitalism.
Yep.
What do you mean specifically by that?
The one thing that makes this country different than every other country in the world is that we are a country built on entrepreneurship. We are a country built on capitalism. We are a country built on creativity, on risk-taking. That's what makes us unique. You can't point to anywhere else in the world that has that culture. And because of that, I have no doubt in my mind that we will see new businesses that are just groundbreaking and change the world come out of this country. If you go back over the last 50 years and make a list of the top inventions or technologies that have changed the world, probably 90% of them were founded and created here in America. Now, a lot of those were immigrants who came to America, but that's a good thing because that tells you that the best and brightest minds didn't stay in their home countries to create those companies. They came here because they know this country truly is the best when it comes to starting businesses. And because of that, this is where capitalism will be its best. And, you know, it won't be exactly the same as it was 3 months ago. You know, I think we're all learning that capitalism combined with compassion is the best version of capitalism. And I think that is why I'm even more positive and hopeful of what will happen on the other side, that this country in particular will lead the way. I bet that we're the ones that come up with the vaccine and the therapies for, you know, COVID-19, that we're the ones that come up with better ways to, you know, deal with ventilators and with surgical masks and all the other things that we're realizing are a problem now, that we'll use probably robotics. And this leads to another conversation, right? You know, our supply chain for so many of these of this PPE and other things that are critical in emergencies like this, and we know there'll be other emergencies, we just won't know their nature. We need to have those supply chains built here in America. But we've also seen in the past that Americans don't want to pay more for made in America. You know, even the president selling his ties, Walmart selling their T-shirts, you know, the Mavs with some of our Chotskis, they're being made in China because we know people don't want to pay more. I think part our next stimulus time, maybe not our next, but at some point when we start discussing infrastructure again, just as important as roads and railroads and airplanes and airports, we need to look at robotics as a key feature or key focus for infrastructure investment by the country, because we're not a leader in robotics in this country. We're not a leader in the software that's built around robotics. We're not a leader, even though we're a leader generally in artificial intelligence, we're not the leader when it comes to AI for robotics yet. And we need to make an investment in that, because having robotics that works, having, you know, manual dexterity in robots, that's going to allow us to take manufacturing back from low-wage countries and bring it here. Now, will we have the same number of jobs that they would have had doing it the old-fashioned way? No, we'll probably have a few fewer, but we'll have so many more factories that are working doing this with robots that the total employment will be greater, because we've replaced all those foreign factories and brought them here, and all the people who are managing 10x the number of factories, hopefully. I mean, that's just a guess number, but hopefully will lead to better jobs, paying more with more people.
Mark, we have short memories as Americans, and coming out of this, I agree with you that I think that we would be willing to pay a little more for made in America. I do believe that. But can that sustain itself? Or will we go back to, you know what, I just want to get it cheaper?
And that's a great question, right? You know, you had the same made in America desire after World War II, and then the Japanese came along and gave us transistor radios. And we fought the Japanese in World War II, right?
Yeah.
And how soon we forget. And look, I'm not passing judgment on which is right or wrong, but what I do know as a tech geek and an entrepreneur, that if we were to invest in robotics as a focus of our future, kind of like going to the moon or trying to go to Mars or wherever, but make robotics a focus of ours via the government and federal investment, then that gives us a chance to bring our manufacturing back home in a way that works for us. And it's not about Americans subsidizing and paying more. It hopefully will be Americans paying less because we were innovative, because that's who we are as a country.
Yeah, the innovation, I think, is the key there. Talking with Mark Cuban. Mark, let me ask you this, because this is all about how do businesses survive? How do consumers get from A to B and on down the road? If, in your estimation, what can consumers, I know this is kind of strange to ask, but what can we do to help businesses survive?
Spend. If you can afford it, spend it. You know, particularly service businesses, if you can hire someone who's creative, that makes videos, that does audio production, that, you know, produced weddings or is a wedding planner and now has zero business, you know, hire them to do, you know, a family Christmas card or a family video where you just send them videos and say, you know what, you know, edit this together into something fun with some fun music. If, you know, you can afford it, you know, I'm doing some stuff with DoorDash. Get them, download DoorDash and get them to, and through them, order delivery from every restaurant that you possibly can. You know, rather than going to the grocery store and making dinner for yourselves, order in, pick your favorite restaurant, do a different restaurant every day. And since we're all quarantined, you know, do as many meals a day as you can, because restaurants have gotten crushed, just absolutely crushed. And, you know, help where you can there. You know, this is a little bit different than it used to be in the past. You'd say donate to a charity and let them do their thing. Now it's different. You know, now we need to be consumers, and where we can spend, we should spend. And so we're trying to do the same thing here in the Cuban household. You know, we may even be ordering more than we probably should. And, you know, I wouldn't be above sending, you know, to Dirk's house, 900 orders of French fries, you know, for 20 gallons of ice cream, just so I can give somebody a big tip.
I want to go to Dirk's house. Yeah,
exactly. Right? This is the Town Hall with Mark Cuban, assisting businesses during the coronavirus. It's brought to you by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. Visit their site or call 720-820-2000. Mark, as we wind things down here, you have been critical, with good reason, of both parties and leadership on both sides during this during the negotiation for the stimulus package.
Right.
When we talk about the time period that we're in right now and the desire and the need for good leadership, are we getting that? Are we getting what we deserve out of Washington right now?
Yes and no. You know, if you go back 3 weeks, I would say definitely not. Now we are where we are, and people recognize the severity of where we're at. I think the president has adjusted. You know, a few weeks ago when he was talking about how everybody thought he was a medical expert and how his uncle was a superstar and, you know, it must be in the family or whatever, we weren't getting good leadership. But he's evolved, and really, with his back up against the wall, we've seen the best of Donald Trump. Now, when he's on the podium, you see him deferring to Dr. Fauci or I forget the woman's name, the other doctor.
Yeah,
who's been amazing. She's incredible. And the head of FEMA and the Surgeon General. And so to his credit, and he does deserve credit for this, you know, he stepped aside. Now, do I like the commentary and the tweets? No. But when we needed information, he let the people who understood the information present it. And I think that's a sign of leadership, and I'm glad we've gotten that from him. You know, when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, you know, wanted to pay for the Kennedy Center and 400 other things, okay, that, you know, those, I'm not saying those aren't worthy needs, but, and that was okay 3 weeks ago, but they get credit too, because they walked away from those things when it came time to sign the bill and for the Senate. So I think our politicians are coming to the realization that this is truly serious, and we have to put partisan politics aside. But now's where the real work starts. You know, I've said this many times before on Shark Tank, it's really easy to write a business plan. It's a little bit harder, but not quite too difficult to get funding for a company. It's really hard to execute on that plan and get results. Now we've got the plan, i.e. the legislation in place. Now we see who the real leaders are, because the execution is going to be everything. This execution now is where we are for life and death, because if people can't feed their families because it's going to take 3 weeks or longer to get the $1,200, or small businesses can't retain their employees and stay in business because they can't get their payroll protection loans, then we're in deep you know what, right? And so this is where the leaders have to lead. And again, I don't care if it's the leader. We just need leaders to step up and really force our government agencies to get it done right.
I think you're absolutely right. As you look at this, there are so many moving parts. At the end of the day, we know this is going to pass. We've been through similar things before. Not as historical as this, but we will get through
World Wars.
This.
We've been through world wars.
Right.
I mean, I tell the story. My grandfather came to this country because he would have been exterminated if he didn't. His son, my dad, and my uncles fought, all three fought in the service in World Wars and saw horrific things. And my dad got wounded and raised a family. He got through that. And he went back to the Korean War and did it again, right? We got through that. We've been through, I don't know if it's worse, but at least it's bad. We will definitely get through this. I have no doubt in my mind we will come back on the other side. We may not immediately be stronger, but we will get to the point where we are stronger for our kids.
What will we look like a year from now, Mark? What will it look like?
I don't know. I really, really, really don't. But I do know that there's a lot of people in North Texas and around the country that are going to do everything possible to make it better. That's what I do know.
Mark Cuban.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Is
absolutely.
Everybody coming together, consumers, businesses, leaders need to lead, representatives need to represent, and we just need to do our part because this will pass. We need to get through it together. And, you know, it's almost a cliche, but it's absolutely true.
And I have absolute hope, right? And, you know, Damon John on Shark Tank, which I got to plug, we're on Friday nights, calls it the power of broke. We all do our best work when our back is against the wall. We don't know how we pay our bills otherwise. And with the power of broke, you know, we will have great entrepreneurs emerge from places we never expect them to come from, and we will be better. And I'm completely certain of that, and I'm very, very hopeful.
Mark Cuban, thank you for the time. Thanks for lending us some of your expertise. Thanks for just talking with us about this. I think it's good to talk
absolutely
through these things.
Thank you guys, Mark, having me on, man. I really enjoyed it.
There he goes, Mark Cuban. We have spent the last hour with him, this Town Hall with Mark Cuban, brought to us by FreeConferenceCall.com. Host totally free audio and video meetings with FreeConferenceCall.com. You can visit their site or call 720-820-